Hi, everyone. This is Mark, and you're listening to the Ballpark Hunter podcast. I'm also a regional correspondent for the website Stadium Journey. Check out stadiumjourney.com for all your future travel plans, arenas, ballparks, all over the world. We got you covered. So you need to know before you go at Stadium Journey. So with me today is my special guest. He is Kelly, the ballpark nerd, or the minor league nerd. I'm sorry, minor
You're
league nerd.
the ballpark
Yeah, the ballpark. Yeah, I'm the ballpark nerd. So this is Kelly, the minor league baseball nerd. And he has come on the show to talk about his website, also talk about his YouTube page and anything else. He chronicles a lot of minor league baseball teams from the past, and he digs into a lot of research to put up these awesome videos, some short, some long, some very detailed. And we're going to find out how long it takes to put these videos together on today's show. So, Kelly, welcome.
Oh, thanks, Marks. Glad to be on.
Yes. Well, I've been watching your videos because I'm like you. I'm a big minor league nerd and a ballpark nerd, and I like going to different stadiums, but I also like the history. I like knowing about some of the old ballparks, about the old teams. Why did they go? Like I went to school at Indiana State in Terre Haute, and there's a long history of minor league baseball there that just ended in 1956.
Right.
So I go to your page and you're talking about the history of baseball in Anderson. You're talking about the Zoo City Zoos. You're talking about teams I never heard of before. So I guess my first question is, how did you get into this history of minor league baseball? What made you say, hey, I want a website. I'm sorry, I want a YouTube page chronicling all this?
So, I My two of my oldest loves are baseball and history.
Nice.
I was a history major in college, but my focus was on Eastern European history, specifically the Balkan Peninsula.
Nice.
And there's not really too much you can do with that. I mean, yeah, you could teach, but I don't want to teach. So I just history I've always loved, baseball I've always loved. The everything with the minor league nerd can be traced back to COVID, to 2020.
Okay, me too. Yeah.
Like most everyone, March of 2020, things locked down, couldn't do anything. I
Yes.
was fortunate enough, I kept my job. I wasn't laid off or furloughed, but I did have a lot of free time on my hands. So I started my Twitter account in like I think it was like 2012, 2010, but I hadn't really used it much. And so I started using it more in 2019. And then 2020, I started doing what I was calling my stay-at-home jersey of the day. So I was just kind of like sharing all my jerseys, just a different one every day. And then after I ran out of that, I started doing my cap of the day, which this was on my personal Twitter account, which I still do to this day. And then I thought about, I should like do a series or something talking about my hats, the history of my hats, the history of the teams, whatever. But at the same time, thinking no one's going to be interested in that. And that's when, I had like maybe 50 Twitter followers. And then through the cap of the day, like my followers just kept growing and growing and growing. And then jumped to, I think it was 2021, maybe 2022. Patrick Larson started his series chronicling his caps and talking about the history of the hat and the teams and showing his massive collection of hats in his videos. And I'm like, oh wow, people would be interested.
Yeah, there's a market.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I'm like, well, I can't do what he's doing. I don't want to do exactly what he's doing because that would just be weird. So I was trying to come up with an idea. I was doing like a Throwback Thursday cap of the day where I would do like a video of just old hats and just do like a brief little history of the team. And I was doing that for a little bit. And then in 2022, my wife and I were actually at a Chicago Dogs game. It was an exhibition game. And there's this family in front of us, and they were talking. They're playing the Kane County Cougars, and the people were like, "I thought they were affiliated. Is this league affiliated?" Going, trying to figure out what the American Association was. And like I said something. I told them, the Cougars were dropped, and it's an independent league and everything. And like, okay, cool, thanks. My wife's like, "Oh, he's a minor league nerd. He knows like everything."
Oh, there you go.
And so I'm like, "Minor league nerd. That's a good name." And so I created the domain or the Twitter handle, and like, okay, what am I going to do with this? I've got this Twitter handle, but what am I going to do? And then that's like a few months later is when I got the idea. It's like I should start a YouTube channel. And so it started that just over a year ago. It was the beginning of March 2023. I released my first episode, which was on the Ottawa Lynx. So I started off, I was doing still doing the Throwback Thursday Cap of the Day, and then I had other series like franchise history series, mostly forgotten series. And so it was just, yeah, just started off doing a few of those here and there, doing every Thursday and doing the other ones. But then it kind of got to the point where doing a Throwback Thursday every week was just way too much work.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially last summer, I was just really busy at work, so I didn't really have a lot of free time to make the videos. So I stopped doing that, but instead still kept on with the Mostly Forgotten team series, the franchise history series, and then created special episodes, which would kind of cover something that's not under any of those. And then, like as you mentioned, there was the Minor League Nerds shorts, which video is usually about less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So for teams that there's just not a lot of information out there.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right, 'cause I've done some writings on old minor league baseball teams too, and it's hard to find. There's especially and it can be a team from the 1960s. It's hard to find. I know growing up in New Jersey, we had the Perth Amboy Pacers. I can find a lot of articles from that year. I can't find pictures, videos. I'm sorry, not videos. Of course, no videos. Pictures, uniform. I don't know what their ballpark look like. I have all the descriptions, but just nothing else. And I think sometimes you're like, oh, I got this idea for an article, and the pictures are premium. It's almost like nobody was taking photos of minor league baseball teams.
And it's amazing because the teams, they had logos, but no one ever saw those logos, even if it
No.
was just the city name. Like maybe you can find a black and white version of it in a
Yes.
book somewhere, which I have some book research books that'll have the black and white logo, but you can't find anything online.
No, and I know when I was doing something about the Paris Red Peppers in Texas. There's an article that's describing what the emblem looks like, and it's going to be worn on the jersey, but I've never seen a picture of the home jersey or of a jersey with that emblem on it, and I'm just. What does it look like? Does it exist somewhere?
I mean that's why you got like when the Portland Pickles did the Rosebuds, where they just like created, let's just
Yeah.
imagine what you thought the logo looked like, which I actually have one of those hats, and it's a great logo that they came up with, but who knows what it really looked like.
Yeah, who knows? And it's lost in time. So it's nice when I come onto you your YouTube page, and that is Minor League Nerd at YouTube. Right now you have about 260 subscribers. Hopefully people are going to be subscribing to your channel after this episode. And I suggest that. But I'm looking at the Victoria Muscles. I never heard of that team, but yet I found myself fascinated about their history. And they played in my lifetime, so it's not like we're going way back. How did you come up with that team? Like, what said, hey, I want to do Victoria Muscles?
The Victoria Muscles, actually it was Ebbets Field Flannel.
Okay.
They did a hat, which I thought the hat was really awesome, and I'm like, okay, let's see if I can find more information out about them. And I did, and it was enough that I could put together
Yes.
a short video.
Yeah, and it made it your whole while to do that. So, did you ever have a team where you said, well, before we get there, when I was watching the video, we saw that Bill Murray played for the team for a little bit. And I know, I think he also played for the Gray Harbors or the Loggers. He played for somebody else.
It was either Gray Harbor or Bellingham, one or the other. I can't remember which one,
Yeah,
but one of the
I want to say Gray Harbor, and there was an SNL special that
Yes.
has video of his. Yeah, and you know, Bill Murray's still involved in baseball these days, and it's amazing, you know, how deep it goes. You know, it goes
Yes.
back, you know, to the late 70s. So you do Victoria, you get some information. Do you ever get to some teams where there's nothing? You said, oh, great, I want to cover this team. I have something to make a video on, and then it just goes dead.
I've fortunately so far I've not had that
Oh, there
happen.
you go.
There've been some where it's like finding images or
Okay.
something to use in the video has become really difficult, like the Zoo City Zoos.
Yes, so I can
That
imagine.
was one. I mean, I was fortunate enough I was able to find a few like team photos, which it's great that like there's come across someone who like was selling a picture of the team photo. I'm like, oh, this is great. That so far I've had that be an issue more than not being able to find information. But I know
Okay.
there will definitely at some point be where I want to do an episode and I can't find anything. But even if it's like I can only find just a tiny little bit, I can fill it with other information, kind of stretch it out a little, and maybe, you know, even if it's only like a 5 minute video,
Yeah.
still something.
Yeah, definitely. Because I mean, yeah, we're talking about the Yazoo City Zoos who last played in 1912.
Yes.
So there isn't a lot of stuff out there, you know, or maybe somebody has a collection of this sitting in an attic somewhere, unbeknownst to them.
Right. Yeah,
You
with
know.
them, for them, it was like it was amazed how much information I was able to find. Like after I recorded the video, I'm like, wow, this is like almost 10 minutes long. I did not expect it to end up being that long.
You're just shocked, and you know, like when you do your research, like how much research, how many hours does it go into before you can shoot your video, before you can create that?
So it kind of depends on like what series it's in. Like
Mm-hmm.
I've got one that hopefully recording this weekend that is it's the it well it's you know just say what it is. It's the history of the Houston Buffaloes,
Nice.
Buffs, all the way up to the current Oklahoma City Baseball Club.
Oh, okay.
So when the Astros came to Houston, the Buffs left and they went to Oklahoma City, where they became the 89ers and still exist to this day. So that one took time, like actual time, probably about 3 weeks to a month
Okay.
to
Yeah.
research. Actual like time sitting down doing it, I'd say, you know, it was probably, if you know, just do it straight through how many hours it took, it probably took about 36 hours.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I could see that because, you know, you and I have talked before the show. Like, you go on newspapers.com to get a lot of your information, and to me, that is the closest man may come to traveling back in time. You know, looking at all those articles, and then when you're on the sports page, you glance over to other things going on at the time. You know, and advertisements and comics, and you know, you find other things that have nothing to do with what you're searching for, but oh, I'm in 1956. I want to check out the car sales
Right.
at this lot, or I want to see what's going on in the space race at the time. So,
Getting distracted a lot.
yes, and I love newspapers.com. If they ever want to advertise, give me free access to their site, I'll be more than happy, because that is a treasure trove
But
of invaluable material.
it's annoying though sometimes when even there I can't find anything.
Yeah.
Like you know, you have the specific date where something happened, you know, in that you want to talk about. You have the specific date and you do the search and nothing comes up, and then you widen the search and still nothing comes
Yeah.
up.
Yeah, and what helps is when you're researching maybe a small town baseball team, and for whatever reason they have that city's newspaper on file. Like, that helps a lot. What doesn't help is when maybe that newspaper goes up to a certain date, and then it cuts off for 10 years.
And it like goes up to like a week before what you're
Yes.
looking for. And
Oh, that.
it's also odd sometimes, like The episode I did on the Winnipeg Whips.
Nice. The whips. Love the whips.
All the and it'll be getting repackaged later,
Okay.
in a longer series. But all the new, I couldn't find anything in Canada. Everything I found regarding the Whips was
Buffalo, correct?
U.S. paper. Some were from Buffalo, like just talking about, oh, here's what's happening to our former Bisons. But it's like Winnipeg didn't they didn't have the newspapers.
Yeah.
Like even Ottawa wasn't coming up.
Well, what I remember from the Whips is that they were in Buffalo, and the Buffalo Bison were having trouble at their ballpark. It wasn't a that part of town wasn't very trendy, and a lot of people weren't coming out. And there was a story how some players in the clubhouse got robbed by knife point.
Actually, during what during a game,
It was during a game.
during a game, someone a group of kids broke in and they held up
Yeah.
the clubhouse boy.
Okay, the
They
clubhouse boy.
robbed him and like stole some stuff, and that was like they refused to play because,
Yeah.
yeah, they the stadium they were playing in, they couldn't play in anymore, so they were forced to move into Memorial Stadium,
Yes, the
the
rock
rock
pile.
pile.
Yeah.
And they did not want to play there. And yeah, as soon as they went there, their attendance went from like they were leading the International League in like the early 60s in attendance, and come
Yes.
like the late 60s, they can barely get 500 people to a game.
Yeah, and then of course they played games at Niagara Falls at Sal Magley Stadium. They were trying to build a new stadium because I think I did some research on them as well, and it was just funny. It's like, yeah, we want to build a stadium in this part of outside of Buffalo somewhere, and it was like, no, we don't want you here. And then Montreal said, well, we're gonna move you to Winnipeg. But I think they played when they first moved, they played a lot of their games in Montreal, correct?
No, they moved right to
They
Winnipeg.
moved right to Winnipeg. Okay.
Yeah, they moved right to Winnipeg. They played in Winnipeg Stadium.
Yes. Which
And
was a football state. Well, maybe I don't know what it looked like back in 1970, but it was predominantly a football stadium.
the Blue Bombers were still playing there
Yeah,
at the
the
time.
blue. Yeah, and sometime in 1995 I went to a GoldenEyes game there, and it was I remember watching that game and seeing the gridiron marks in the outfield, and it's like, oh, this is odd. But I didn't know better. I was like, okay, it's minor league baseball. I'm not complaining.
Why would you? You get to watch
Yeah.
your baseball game.
Yeah. And then it was the first time I was able to get a beer at a ballpark because I wasn't 21 at the time. And I was like, wait, I could get a beer here?
Thank you,
Okay.
Canada.
Yeah, thank you, Canada. So yeah, so it's a nice little trip down memory lane with a lot of these teams. So you said that the Victoria Mussels, you picked them because of Ebbets Field. How did you go about picking some of these other teams? Is it just the name? Is it the city? Is it the history?
It's kind of like whatever I come across. So I'll like pick a team, like just example, the Spartanburg Phillies. It's like
Nice.
okay, I want to talk about Spartanburg Phillies, so I'll pick a team, and then I'll go in and I'll research. I'll search to see, can I find enough information? And then that's kind of what helps me decide what series it's going to go under.
Okay.
Like the what like for the last three videos, which are about the history of baseball in Anderson, South Carolina, that came about from a great website, which of course I'm blanking on right now, Fun While It Lasted.
Yeah, oh, that is a fun website.
I came across like one of the Anderson teams. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then I'm sure as you've seen on there, if a team moves or relocates, they'll put a link to if they have an article there.
Yes.
And so I was able to find basically from 1970 to 1976, like all the teams that played in Anderson. I'm like, okay, this is a good source right here. And then just expanded from there. And then it's like, okay, I've got a lot of information here. Let's go further back. And so then I'd like, let's go all the way back to the first
Yeah.
team that played in Anderson and see what can I put together. And then I discovered the Anderson Joes of the South Coast League. And I'm like, all right, I can do really, really one really big long episode, or I can break it up and kind of save myself some hassle and like give myself more time to do more videos. And so that's how that came about. So it's usually, Ebbets Field Flannel, fun while it lasted. Or I created, because I am the minor league nerd, I have a spreadsheet of the chronological history of teams, of minor league baseball teams. So I'll have, like, I have all the current affiliated leagues, but then I'll have old ones like the Old American Association, the Southern Association, the Western League, the Western Association. And it's a Google Doc, and it's just the years the league existed, and then like the teams who played. And it'll, like, if they moved, I'll keep it in that same column, and go from, like, just for example, we were talking about the Buffalo Bison. I've got that, and it's like it starts with the Buffalo Bisons and goes all the way through to their modern days, to where they are, to what were the Buffalo Bisons, to where they exist today. And so, like, going through especially the leagues that don't exist anymore, finding these obscure teams that no one's ever heard of. That's how I found the Zoo City Zoos, is I was putting together the spreadsheet on the Cotton States League. And Yazoo City Zoos, who are this that's a really bizarre name. And
It's
then
a fun name to say, even now in 2024.
actually, I part of the reason I did it is Johnny Bolin from Earn Fun Average just recently moved. He moved to Calhoun City, but I thought he moved to Yazoo City. And so I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm gonna do this episode about a team that played in the city he moved to, and then find out, no, he lives in Calhoun City. I'm like, oops. Oh well, but I still did it. So,
And I'm looking at Yazoo City right now, and I don't know if they're big enough to even have a summer collegiate team.
yeah.
Maybe, who knows?
Back in when I first started in 1903, I think it was like 5,000 people, 6,000 people was it.
Yeah, so maybe even back then it was like, what the heck? Why do we have a team? It's,
But
yeah.
no, didn't care. We'll just put a team anywhere.
Well, that definitely happened after World War II. Everybody was putting a team in their cities, and by the early to mid 50s, leagues were just dropping like flies. And I remember doing
Do
some reach,
television.
yeah, television, broadcasting of Major League Baseball games. And of course, I don't think minor league baseball was promoting itself like it does now. And the stadiums, I mean, I can only imagine what some of these stadiums look like. You wouldn't even want to go see a game. It didn't seem like a fun time.
No, not at
So,
all. My wife likes to joke about how video didn't kill the radio star, but video killed minor league baseball in the 1950s. Because it,
it's and you if you just wanted to talk about that phenomenon, digging through the old articles, you can find a lot of great stuff like the Three I League or the Mountain States League. I'm working on an article about that for Stadium Journey, and I'm trying to get some interviews with some former players or people that went to some of these games. And I'm looking at some of these, like a lot of the facilities are still up there, but they're high school fields now, or they're a city park. And one of them is named after Lee Majors, the $6 Million Man,
really?
because he went to, I think it was Middletown, Tennessee, or Middlesbrough, Kentucky. He grew up in that town, and years later they named it after him. So it's yeah, you learn a little bit doing these researches. So
And say, so, and that's kind of why I wanted to do this. It's like, I love history, and just like hearing these stories, and it's just like, oh my God, this is amazing. And that's actually what kind of, so I originally, when I started it, I only wanted to do YouTube, because, like, everyone does a podcast. Don't want to do podcasts. I want to do something different. But also thinking and realizing at the time, it's like, well, not everyone has time to sit down and watch a video like I do. So I'm like, all right. And then so I kind of like I did a poll and asked people, like, would you be interested? And like most people were like, yes, I would love. Like Paul Caputo from Baseball by Design is like, I don't have time to watch videos, but I have enough time to do a podcast. I'm like, all right. So in October is when I started doing an audio version, and it's just what I record for the video done on audio. It's like I don't really change anything. So it's like, you're missing out on some of the imagery. So some things might not come across as well, because sometimes there's an image that lines up to what I'm saying, that might be lost, but it's like completely opened up to where it's like now the viewership, listenership is like doubled what had been before
Oh, okay.
doing that.
Yeah, and I, what I used to do is I used to make YouTube videos of my conversations I had on the podcast, and I stopped doing that. But part of me should think about, maybe looking back into posting these on YouTube just to see if it would double the viewership,
Right.
because unfortunately, it's not as so it's sorry, my wife was calling for me.
Yeah, no problem.
I always tell the wife, I'm doing a podcast, don't call for me, and then I had to mute it. So I'm not in a professional studio like some podcast people are, so it's
I record in my usually in the upstairs of my house, and it's going to be getting to summer, so I don't know what's going to happen because there's a lot more noise in the summer than there is in the winter.
Well, with me, I got the dogs barking and I got kids outside and my Chihuahua, God forbid anybody walks by this house without his permission.
Yeah. For me, it's always the police siren. It's like in the
he's
middle
going to
of
go off
recording,
on
and
you.
a police siren comes by, and it's like, oh, I got to stop and start over and wait for it to go away. And that sound just carries.
So I guess another question is, you said your viewership has gone up. What is the feedback? I mean, what do people say, hey, do this team next? Can you look into research and, I don't know, the Des Moines Demons?
When I started, I was getting a lot of requests. And I've tried to fulfill a lot of those. Some of them I can't, just don't have much information. But it's like a lot of people, and just with anything, don't realize how much work goes into creating a video.
Oh, yeah.
So like, someone like requesting, like one guy specifically had asked multiple times to do the Winnipeg Goldeyes. And so it's like eventually I did do an episode on the Winnipeg Goldeyes, but it took me probably like 3 months because I had other things I was doing and taking care of. But yeah, the Goldeyes, I had someone request the Lake Elsinore Storm. And so what I ended up doing there is I did a franchise history going back to when the team started as the Santa Clara Padres in 1979. And then when they became the Redwood Pioneers, and then they were the Palm Springs Angels before becoming the Lake Elsinore Storm. And the ironic thing is the team I could find the least information about from their history was the Lake Elsinore Storm. It's like all the other teams I was able to get lots of information, and in the Storm I was able to get info, but not as much as I was hoping to get. So it wasn't as full as I was hoping.
It's
But yeah,
disappointing
I
when that happens.
yeah yeah and which I was surprised. It's like I can find more information on the Santa Clara Storm, who played like one season or two seasons. But that's like we're discussing just the difficulty of trying to find information.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I mean, we talked about newspapers.com. Where do you find most of your information? You said, is it books? Is it
So it's a combo. So it's books, newspapers.com. Newspaper.com I'll use, but it's like it I if I was doing a book, I would have more time to search through newspapers, because as it takes a lot to search through. I mean, you read I don't really have the time to read the sports section for an entire season.
Yeah,
So
that's a lot.
it's multiple sources, and I always do list my sources in the show notes on YouTube, so that way people can see where I got this from. But it's Baseball Reference, baseball, BR Bullpen on Baseball Reference is a great source. As I mentioned, Fun While It Lasted, Wikipedia can be good info.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I'll just like search, like just do a Google search, like history of the Houston Buffaloes. And like there I found all kinds, like whether newspaper articles, magazine articles, sometimes radio articles, and like just find all kinds of information there. Like that was one team that it took so long to do because I had a lot of sources. But then I also do, I bought several books that that I use, which some of them are were published in the late 80s, so it's good for older teams. But it's just, yeah, I just do it, a lot of it is just looking online, just trying to see where I can find, or find something that will lead me to something else that leads me to something else.
Yeah, you're right. I love those old books that you can get your hands on from, several decades ago. It's amazing the pictures you can find. It's amazing some of the things that are written there. Like I have a book about the Eastern League, and they were talking about the old team in Thetford Mines, Quebec. And I mean, horror story after horror story about that field. And I have never read that online. I have never seen anybody talk about it. I mean, Willie Randolph played there. I think he was quoted in a newspaper sometime in 1992 about it. And here's this book. It's almost like a treasure chest of just great information and how minor league baseball was even up until that era. So, you're right. These teams come and go. The stadiums are knocked down. Who knows what they build over it, and the people who attended games there or pass away, or just you lose memory. So it's nice to have this YouTube page to go to read about these old teams. It's they need to be told. It's I wish we
Yes, I agree.
I wish you could tell all the teams. That would take a long time.
My couple of my favorite things that ever have happened is I've had I think like three times now, someone respond, like watch the video and respond like, thank you for talking about my dad.
Oh, there you go.
Like Red Treadway, who managed the Jackson Beach Shorebirds, his daughter somehow came across. I don't know if she just searched for her dad or what, but she's like, thank you for talking about my dad. I just had recently someone, I'm forgetting which the player it was, but I'm a player who in the latest Anderson history of Anderson baseball and or history of baseball in Anderson, South Carolina, who's like, I appreciate you mentioning that this pitcher, and I'm blanking on his name right now, played or is in the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame. Or another one, the DeLand Red Hats, a woman's husband play or husband's father played for the Red Hats back in 1949, 1950. And it's like I couldn't, it's like after she mentioned that, I went searching. I could not find a picture of him, but I found his stats. And like
Yes.
I he's like, we don't remember when he played. So like I responded and I'm like, here's when he played, here's a link to his stats. So like having that is just like just always blows me away whenever I get that. Like I said, it's only happened like maybe three times, but I always appreciate that. And it's like, I'm, keeping someone's memory alive. I'm helping keeping someone's father alive. The memory of her father
Yeah,
is
no, that means a lot when you hear something like that, 'cause it could be a grandson. It could be a son saying, "Wow, I never knew that," or "I wasn't aware of that." And it's, something to share to a next generation. Hey, your grandfather, played minor league baseball.
Right. And even if it's just like here's this little mention of him in this video done by this guy I've never met.
Yeah. No, it's nice. I think that's some of the videos I do, somebody says, "Hey, I used to play here." Especially some of the high school gyms I go to in Indiana. Somebody's like, "Oh, I played there back in 76. It looks the same, or my father played there, or I grew up playing in this gym," and they would tell you a story about it, or you talk about, like, I was in Lafayette, Indiana, and I was at Loeb Stadium, and I guess the original Loeb was built in 1940. A lot of people were telling me their memories. So yeah, you like those. It makes you feel good. It's like, feels like you did something nice to somebody.
Yeah, it's like it just, just makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah, it warms your heart. So, when you do these researches on teams, do you find anything like surprising? Like, wow, I never knew that, or I can't believe that happened.
The entire video on the oh, geez, I'm blanking. I'm terrible. I keep forgetting it's the issue of, oh, what's your favorite, whatever, and always getting
Yeah.
going blank. But no, that was jeez. I hope you can edit this out.
We can edit this.
I'm trying to, it's like I'm completely blanking, but it's one of my favorite episodes because it's a weird team name. The Rocky Mount Pines.
Oh, yeah, the pines.
Because I always want to say Rocky Mountain Pines, the Rocky Mountain Pines.
Rocky
That
Mountain, yeah.
entire story was just insane. It's like I don't even remember how I came across them. I think when I was putting together a spreadsheet and I found them, I'm like, oh, Rocky Mount Pines, who are these guys? And I was able to find like an ES or a Sports Illustrated article
Oh, those are good too.
and like one other article, which was like my two main sources. And just the whole team was that the fact that they made it through an entire season, like they have the distinction of the worst record ever in affiliated baseball, where like they lost 124 games.
Yeah, they went. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. 24 and 114 and one.
114. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The guy who owned them, it was two guys, like the guy didn't want to invest any money in the team. He wanted the team, but he didn't want to put any money in
Oh,
it.
well, that, yeah.
And they were an independent, so they like no one would send them teams or players, and that they only came in as to fill in because the Carolina League was expanding and they need another team. And so they contact the guys who owned a team up in Newark, New York, which I did an episode on, the Co-Pilots. And so they shut down the Co-Pilots and moved down there and played in a dumpy stadium, barely had enough players to field a team. Actually, one game the trainer had to suit up and play a game because they were short of players. They like that one guy said the best thing that happened to them all season was when the bus broke down in Winston-Salem in front of a massage parlor, so they all got to get massages.
Nice.
And like that was one that's like thinking, oh, this is going to be a minor league nerd short, and then I was like, there's a lot of information here. And so it's like, okay, well, this will be the Mostly Forgotten series, which is my wife actually hosts that one because she has an acting background, and I figure one, it'll be nice for her because she'll feel like she's contributing and putting something out there, and two, it kind of gives me a break from having to talk for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I do notice that every now and then there's a female voice. So that is your wife.
That is my wife, yeah, and
Okay.
she just does the Mostly Forgotten series.
Okay. See, I think I like those a lot. I like those forgotten teams of, that they're played in these small towns, and there's another Sports Illustrated article that I read about a team, and it was a Twins affiliate in 1969, and they were just describing how nobody lives in this town. You can't pick up a radio station. You can't pick up a TV station after 8 o'clock. It has a bowling alley. That's the only thing going on.
Jeez.
So the owner thought that everybody would come out to watch this baseball team. And I guess in the beginning they did, and after a while it was like, okay, we want to do something else.
Right.
And it was known as the smallest city to have a minor league baseball team at the time. And it was a Twins affiliate. I'm trying to think. I'm blanking too. But
I don't know the story. Like if you mentioned the team, it might sound familiar.
yeah, let me see here. I'll think of it eventually. I don't know, but it's yeah, I like those stories. This weird crazy this weird little town that had no business probably having minor league baseball all of a sudden has one. Oh, wait a minute. We're losing money here. But
That was kind of the Rocky Mount Pines. It was the same story. It's like
Red
they
Springs, the Red Springs, the Red Spring Twins in North
okay, no, I
Carolina.
nope, I don't recall them. And
Yeah.
I'm sure I know I've come across them, but I don't recall seeing anything about them.
Yeah, I'll send you the link. There's an SI article. I'll send that to you now. It's a good read.
Maybe I can make an episode out of it.
Yeah, it'd be fun. There's some pictures. There's a couple pictures out there.
Yeah, the Rocky Mountain pines are really hard to get pictures. So there's like long segments of like just the same picture,
Oh
which you
yeah.
have to do sometimes. But yeah, that I mean they that team is probably one of my favorite
Nice.
that I've done about. It's just like they had like no press coverage, and in fact the press actually kind of made fun of them just at how because of how bad they were. Like one day the game was rained out, and the next day it's like, hey, the Pines didn't lose.
Hey, at least they got some coverage.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember growing up in New Jersey in the late 90s, and we had a lot of minor league teams, and none of them were, I mean, Sundays they would talk about certain things about minor league baseball, but most of the time, they didn't say anything.
Right.
And the PR directors would be like, no, nobody wants to cover us. And it's like, well, it stinks, but at least they're not making fun of you like they
Right.
were in Rocky Mount.
Could be worse.
Oh, could be much worse. So definitely the Pines are your favorite team there, just because of their history.
Yeah, just because it's just a bizarre story. Like another bizarre one, which is a future planned, which I'm sure you are familiar with, the Lake County Fielders.
Oh yeah, I actually went to a game.
Oh yeah, I never made it. I
Oh, you
try. I
never made it
wanted to
to
go.
Zion?
I've been to Zion, but not for a game.
Oh boy.
But we plan on doing a video on that because there's a lot of people who never heard the story of
Well,
what disaster that
yeah,
was.
you're right. It's old enough that it's kind of fallen through the cracks. It's not
It's
as if,
a decade old, more than a decade
yeah,
old.
it's not as if people talk about it. In fact, I was at the game. I was at the game before their PR, their radio broadcaster quit on the spot,
Yeah.
and a bunch of players left. And then Jose Canseco was managing the opposing team, and he decided to play in that game. Like, I was there that Friday, and I think this happened on a Saturday. And I was like, man, I was so close. But yeah, when I went to that stadium, I was with my friend Kevin,
You mean
and
air quotes stadium?
yeah, air quotes. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, they told me the stadium was completed. It still looked like a construction site.
Yeah.
And it felt like you were watching a game at a construction site. It was one of the weirdest things ever. I'm like, what the? Like, are they serious? They're actually playing here? And I remember talking to a couple people at the game, and there was I guess the box seats behind home plate were the only thing that closely resembled what a
Right.
stadium could look like. Oh, I love it. You're so close to the game. The tickets are cheap. But I mean, the bathrooms were porta potties, where you got your, like, everything was this portable trailer,
Right.
and the merchandise was on tables. Now the merchandise looked good. I should have bought a hat. Those hats were really stylish,
Yeah,
from what I remember.
I really wish I had a hat.
Yeah, I should have told myself, Mark, this is going to be an infamous team one day.
Yeah, but you
And
didn't know how infamous.
you didn't know how infamous. I mean, I figured that stadium would slowly get built, and I was not still naive, I guess.
I don't know if you know Spencer Collins. He has
Yes.
a Sac Sports. He actually did a video last year. He went to where the
Yeah.
stadium was,
Yeah. Yeah.
which.
He's been on here a couple times. I know Spencer. In fact, I met him at a Pacers game about a year ago. And yeah, he told me about that.
Yeah,
I shared stories with him about my experience
I
there.
watched that video because it was just nice to see like what's it look like now, and I can
Looks the
tell that.
same.
Yeah. It's the same, except now there's weeds where there was a baseball field. That's about
Yeah.
it.
And it was in a weird location. If I want to recall right, there was a CVS across the street.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm like, why did they build a stadium here? This doesn't seem like you would build a stadium here. Like
Yeah. Well,
maybe.
it's weird because I think that was technically supposed to be a temporary stadium.
Okay.
And they were going to build a real stadium
Oh
somewhere
boy.
else, and the quote unquote real stadium never was even touched. And it's one of those, who are you going to believe? Because the city
Yeah.
said one thing, and the Zimmerman who owned the team said something else. And it's like, that guy can't be trusted because he basically abandoned the Schaumburg Flyers and stopped paying his rent there to focus on on the Fielders,
Wow.
and then the Flyers ended up getting evicted from their stadium,
Yeah.
and it's because of him, because he's like, oh, I'm gonna go to this one and it's gonna be shiny and new, and Kevin Costner's involved, and
I don't think he ever was he?
he was quote unquote an owner.
Yeah.
I don't know if he really was. He showed up for the first game throughout the first
He
pitch
left.
and left, and I don't think ever was anywhere near Zion Hill
No.
ever again.
No, because I mean there was another team in your area called the Fort McHenry Canines that were supposed to play, but I don't know if what happened
No,
to them.
it's actually the McHenry Canines.
The McHenry Canines.
They never came about.
Yeah.
They like I remember, I think I came across an article on them in Wikipedia. That was how I first heard of them. This was, 15 years ago or so. And that article has since disappeared. I don't know. And like the team never came about, but yeah, it was another one. There was just McHenry Canines. It's way, way north
That's near
of Chicago.
Algonquin, correct? Or
Further north, much further. It's you're
Hoffman
it's
Estates?
for north of Hoffman Estates.
Okay.
McHenry, it's McHenry is actually a county. It's the county that borders Wisconsin.
Okay.
It's closer to Rockford than probably the city of McHenry is probably closer to Rockford than
Oh,
Chicago.
okay.
So they would have been in the middle of nowhere. I don't think it's a good thing the team never came about, because I don't think they probably would have survived out there. I don't think they just would have drawn enough people. They could have been a collegiate summer league team, probably could have worked.
Yeah, and I
A
think,
professional team.
yeah, that definitely could have worked. I know they came up with a logo for it. It was,
Yeah, I remember seeing the logo, but I don't remember it off the top of my head.
but I don't. Yeah, here it is. I'm looking at it right now. So they were. Let me see what year this was from. You know, it's funny. You know, 2011. So in
Okay.
2011, it was planned, a new $18 million stadium. Which who knows what the heck that would have looked
Wow.
like. 18
Was
million.
the supposed to be the Frontier League, right?
Yeah, in the Frontier League. Yeah, McHenry. You know, now, you know, if somebody said, hey, let's try to get a summer league team,
I
you'd be
think that would
like,
totally work up there.
yeah, that would totally work, you know,
It's
and
like I 2 years ago I went finally got to see the normal Corn Belters, and like being there, I'm like, I don't understand how they were able to be a professional team for as long as they were. I mean, it's like collegiate summer league works perfectly, but I mean, just it's not. I mean, it was a nice stadium. It's very basic,
Yeah.
comfortable, but it's like it's not a large market, and I don't see how a professional team was able to last as long
Yeah, I
as
just think like, you
it.
know, your research and my research, you just think about it just comes to money, you know. Oh yeah, everybody's gonna come watch this game, and then you realize they don't, and you have to market it, you have to pay players, you have to pay to travel, you have to pay for the hotel. You know, and that eats up in your budget. And, you know, when you do your research, I always find articles, especially from the 40s and 50s, you know, oh, yeah, owning a minor league baseball team is not going to make you money. You do it for the civic pride and you do it to have people to enjoy something. So even back then, they knew they weren't making money. So, you
Well,
know.
yeah, even I mean through what was it through the 90s, like you bought a team, a minor league team, by basically paying off the debt of the previous owner. It's like you pay off their debt, okay, well now the team's yours. Like you weren't the team, the person selling the team wasn't making money, they were just losing their debt. So I guess in a way you can say they kind of were making money because they weren't in debt any longer.
And you know, now, you know, you look at some teams, they do make a profit. The Indianapolis Indians, where I am, I think have turned a profit every year since 1975, from what I heard. But good for them. I don't know what the heck.
There's definitely there are some teams that always turn a profit, and then others they just can't.
Yeah.
It's like that's why, like for a long time I shouldn't say for a stretch there of many years, like I fell out of interest in independent ball because I was a big fan of the Northern League. And then when that completely fell apart,
Yeah.
I was just like I was mad at the American Association. I was like, you helped kill the Northern League. I didn't really know the whole story of what was going on with the Northern League, but then I got back into it, and it's like part of the reason why I also kind of lost interest is teams were just coming and going way too much.
Yeah,
It's
it
like
was.
I don't like that. It's like, now I'm a big fan of the American Association because I'm a Chicago Dogs fan. And it's like, to me, it's great. It's 12 teams. They all seem like they're stable and everything's working out well. And it's not like, teams dropping out every year and a new one's coming in and replacing them, and another two are dropping out. And so it's like I like stability when it comes to my baseball.
No, I like that too. And the Atlantic League, like I said, grew up in New Jersey. I thought they were somewhat stable, but my goodness, the last few years, teams coming and going, new teams coming and going.
Owners not paying any bills.
Gastonia. I don't think they've come up with a name for the new club yet.
No, and the season starts in less than a month.
Yeah, like, what are you guys waiting for? You know,
Yeah,
you might also just be called the Gastonia Baseball Club and do what Oklahoma City's doing.
I went to a Honey Hunters game in 2022, and it wasn't like, some of the stuff that I'd heard about what people complaining about, it's like looking back, it's like, yeah, I kind of do remember like the explicit versions of songs playing at, supposed to be a family event. And
Oh my,
they
I didn't
had,
hear that when I was there. My goodness.
I it's like I had forgotten that. And then when I read about it, it's like it clicked. I'm like, oh yeah, I do remember commenting on that. Like they, I, it's the one of the only two, one of two teams that I've visited that don't have a hat because they did not have any hats,
Oh, really?
and they didn't, at least not in my size, and they
Okay.
didn't restock it for last year, which that I was able to confirm that from a local fan on Twitter. I'd mentioned that, and I'm like, yeah, and as far as I know, they didn't restock their hats, and she's like, exactly, they never did.
Well, when
So
I
anyway.
was there, they had tons of hats. I was there, I think, their first year.
Yeah.
And what happened was they had a rain out the night before, so they played an earlier game that day. So there was nobody at the stadium.
Right.
It was a ter I mean, beautiful. I liked the stadium. I thought that it was a very unique, interesting version of a ballpark.
Yeah.
And I'm just imagining what this place will look like when it was packed, but I just couldn't imagine Gastonia supporting this club,
Right.
and management. I guess the one I guess the owners, I forget her name, the owner's wife that a lot of people were questioning, she was very friendly to me, very accommodating, but
So
it
that was everything I read. Like, yeah, she came off very friendly.
yeah, but it didn't it but it felt more like it felt like I was at a business. It didn't feel like, this was a baseball stadium and she knew the X's and O's, or she knew
Right.
she was just like, yeah, hey, welcome here. Do you need water? Do you need any information? Do you need to talk to somebody? Our owner's over here giving a speech to somebody. Like, nah, I don't really need it. I mean, I'll say hi to him, but yeah, I like the stadium, and I liked how they picked the name for it and the history and the aesthetics. But yeah, you got to pay your bills, or they'll run you out. Same with Lexington. I don't know what the counterclocks are doing last year, not playing that little league team.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that.
No.
And then the little league team is like, yeah, you're not getting your money from these guys. Like, it's not happening.
Yeah, it's a good thing that team was sold too.
That. And I'm glad they went back to the legends and they updated the logo, because that counterclock's name was horrible.
I'm always amused at like the reactions to team names, and it's like, Paul talks about a lot on Baseball but by Design, that the J curve, how like drops down and then comes up. That one never came up. Like nobody, like around the country, people liked it, but I think it was more people just liked it because it was a new team and it's like no new merch to get. But like locally, nobody liked that name.
No, nobody liked that. My friend Kevin lives there, and he's, first of all, my buddy Kevin hates the fact that they're not affiliated anymore.
Yeah.
Then they go ahead and change their name, and he's like, he goes, I don't know anybody who likes that name. And he said the people that were still going to games to support them said, that's it, I'm done. I don't know who the counterclocks are. So hopefully the goodwill and the We'll bring baseball. We'll bring the fans back.
I think the problem also was that the people who bought it weren't baseball people. I mean, they were developers, and everyone figured they were just going to keep the team for 1 year and then redevelop the stadium and just get rid of it. It's like, thankfully they didn't do that, and thankfully they sold the team to people who actually, to was it Cannapolis Intimidators ownership group is part of it, and it's people who actually, and then like the, I think the original owner is part of the group as well.
And
Now
the
it's like,
like yeah investors too. Yeah,
yeah,
so
it's like it's people who know baseball and want to keep baseball in Lexington.
yeah, well let's hope that's the case. And I'm sure one day down the road you'll be writing about the Lexington counterclocks.
Yes. Thankfully, it's only 1 year I have to cover.
Yeah, 1 year you just have to cover it. But I mean, here's the thing, we could be talking 10, 12 years from now. And there may be a bunch of people who don't remember the counterclock, so they have to go to your page, your YouTube page, to find out. So before I let you go, what do you have planned in future? How many teams are you studying, researching right now?
So I've been working, so when I had mentioned I had done the Throwback Thursday Cap of the Day series, and I stopped that because it was just too much. None of those episodes were ever released as a podcast version. And also my editing and production skills have gotten better since I did those. So I what I'm planning on doing is I'm doing like I'm calling them a recut
Oh, nice.
versions of those. So I'm slowly redoing those, but they're not going to just be where I just take the episode and redo it or like just present it differently. I'm expanding on it.
Okay.
So like one that I've been working on, like the very first episode I did was the Ottawa Lynx. So that's turning into a history of professional baseball in Ottawa, starting all the way back in the 1898, all the way up to today, to the Titans. So there were 20 episodes there, so I'll be doing those differently. The big one coming up that's recording this weekend is going to be the history of the Houston Buffs all the way up to today. I've got a special episode. I don't want to give it away, but it's about the rivalry between two teams that used to play in the same city that got to the point where there was a big brawl and police were called. That's a big, another big one that's coming up. And then there's just a bunch of other like little ones that working on, like the Medicine Hat Blue Jays. I'm going to do, looking to do a video on the Toronto Maple Leafs, the original baseball team. So just a lot of different episodes coming up, and then redoing old episodes and updating them so that way they look better. And because I'm sure, as you know, you look at some of your old videos and like, oh wow, that wasn't that great. It's gotten so much better. And then so that way I can put them on podcast. So there's definitely lots of stuff in the works for the next several months.
Okay, that's definitely a lot to keep you busy
Yes.
and a lot for us to look forward to. So, when do you release your videos? Do you have a certain day or?
I typically do them on Thursdays,
Okay.
usually Thursday at noon Central.
Okay.
But if it's a broken up, like the history of professional baseball in Anderson, South Carolina, that was three episodes, and that was like a Thursday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday. I actually thought it was coming out on Thursday, but it came out yesterday. So, but it's typically noon Central on Thursdays.
Okay.
I did one on a Friday once and nobody watched it. So I'm like, okay, never do a Friday again.
All right. Yeah, those are the things you got to think about. When do you release these videos?
Yeah, it's like I've just kind of discovered middle of the day is usually good.
Okay.
Well, like people will get the notification, and you know, maybe they'll go back later, or now that there's the podcast version, some people go right away and will listen to it. But yeah, that's just another thing you got to take into consideration.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Because I think I release mine on Monday evenings, and that's just based on my data that tells me this is what most people are watching. But who knows? Maybe I should release videos during the day. That's
It's
good.
hard to tell. It
That's
really
hard.
is.
Yeah, it is. It's whenever you think you figure out this YouTube algorithm and whatnot, it flips you around and tells you to do something else.
But when I the first really long video I did was on the Montreal Royals to the Syracuse Mets, it ended up coming in at like 45 minutes. I'm like, nobody's gonna watch this. No one's gonna sit through 45 minutes. And amazingly, people did. But
That's
then
great.
there's times it's like a less than a 10-minute video, and that one like barely gets any views. But the super long one gets lots of views. So it's really is a crapshoot. It's just so hard to guess and tell.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. I if I figure it out, I'll let you know, and vice versa, and we'll quit
Definitely
our
will.
jobs and just live off our YouTube income. So, but hey, Kelly, I appreciate you coming on. Where can people find you outside of the YouTube page?
I have Instagram and Twitter, which is just Minor League Nerd. On both, my personal Twitter account, which is public, is Calibration. It's KelaBration. And so that's pretty much everywhere that I can be found.
All right, thank you. And we'll be searching for you. And yeah, guys, ladies, hit that subscription button when you check out his page. You're gonna, fall in a rabbit hole with some of these great topics and these old baseball teams you never knew you wanted to hear about. So, all right. Well, Kelly, thank you for coming on, and we'll let you know. Let us know when the next videos are up, and we'll be keeping track.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, take care. All right, that was Kelly from the Minor League Nerd. I think I call him the Ballpark Nerd. Minor League Nerd. So he does a nice job. We actually talked for about a good half hour. I just jumped back on here about YouTube stuff. So I didn't, that might have been interesting to talk to you guys about, but and then he did want to mention that he is in Curve Brim Media. We didn't talk about that, but he is a member of Curve Brim Media, and he was telling me the positives and how that came about. So, yeah, that's nice. That's very nice. So, Minor League Nerd, Kelly was my guest, and right now he has his latest video as of this date is the history of professional baseball in Anderson, South Carolina, along with Montreal Royals to Syracuse, the Richmond Virginians, Cleveland Buckeyes, Nashville Express, Binghamton Triplets. I mean, the OG Milwaukee Brewers minor league team. Yeah, it's just some really cool videos here. Schaumburg Flyers, of course, the Rocky Mount Pines. He's kindred soul, I would say. Newark Orioles. Oh my God, I know, I don't think I've seen this one. The Kissimmee Cobras, the Kissimmee, or is it Kissimmee? No, it's Kissimmee. Yeah, I remember being a kid going to Orlando, and we called it Kissimmee, but it's Kissimmee. So the Kissimmee Cobras, and it was funny because the Astros used to have their spring training team there, and when the Astros had their Florida State League team there, they were called the Osceola County Astros, and they did not want to be called the Kissimmee Astros, the Kissimmee Astros, because they thought that sounded like kiss my tookus. Anyway, and then of course the Tucson Toros. I haven't seen that video yet, but I'm sure he's going to talk about those awesome 1980-81 uniforms that are notorious. But that was a lot of fun. That was great. We could have just talked about ballpark experiences. So I'm sure Kelly could come back on anytime, and talk a little bit more. He also mentioned Spencer Collins, who's been a guest on here a couple times. I need to get him on. He now works full time for Pull Tab Sports up in Minneapolis or the Twin Cities. I don't know if it's actually Minneapolis. Could be somewhere outside. Could be, I don't know, St. Paul or Little Canada. Isn't there a Little Canada, Minnesota? So we'll have to get Spencer on because I want to hear about his adventures. That's kind of exciting. The work for the mothership up there in the Twin Cities. And of course, we have a lot of great guests here. It's funny when you have certain people that have podcasts, that do YouTube videos, that are on Twitter and social media. Like, we all know each other. Oh yeah, I know Spencer. Oh yeah, I know Ed. Oh, I know. I'm trying to think of his name right now. I know Zach. I know Zach. I was thinking about somebody else, but we know all these people, and it's funny. It's like we're all friends. We're all in this nice little community. So hopefully you guys are enjoying the content. There's a lot of great baseball. I know on my YouTube page, I don't so solely do baseball. I do other things, and hopefully you like that too. I like covering all sports and my excitement there. So anyway, thank you all for listening. Make sure you check out the Ballpark Hunter on your favorite social media sites. It's TikTok, that's Twitter, that's Threads, even though I don't really go on Threads. Right now we are itching into 8,000 subscribers. 8,000 subscribers on the Ballpark Hunter YouTube page. And of course, Stadium Journey, stadiumjourney.com. Make sure you check out my latest articles, my adventures, some videos, my podcast with the Stadium Journey crew. We're looking for a guest for our next episode on April 1st. We want to do something funny and exciting, and we're looking for the right guest. So until next time. Happy hunting.